Psalms 119. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help me as I preach this evening. Lord, you're very good to us. I thank you for your faithfulness, and I pray that you would just open my heart and help me to rightly divide your word. Allow this message tonight to encourage us and help us with our walk with you. And we ask these things in Jesus, your precious name. Amen. Now, as I told you before, Psalms 119, every single word that's in Psalms 119, every single word that's in this Bible is the very words of God. Psalms 119 is a little different than other chapters you'll see in the Bible. What you'll see is almost every single verse, then a few verses, mentions God's word in it. So we have already been up to 56. We have seen that. If you look at verse 57, it says, keep thy word. In verse 58, it says, thy word. 59, testimonies. Verse 60, commandments. Verse 61, thy law. Verse 62, judgments. Verse 63, precepts. Verse 64, statutes. So you can see the whole way up through 64 verses, there's something in, about God's word. It mentions God's word in every verse that we've gone up to. And what we could see, if you look at verse 57 and verse 57 and verse 58, look what the Bible tells us. It says, thou art my portion, O Lord, and I have said I will keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Here it is, I believe it was a psalmist, it was a David. What we could see in these verses, he's talking about having this personal relationship with God. He accepted the Messiah to come. And the reality is they were looking forward to him coming. We as believers now look back to the cross knowing that he did come. But we know that. Amen. And here it is. He has this personal relationship. That word, it says, thou art my portion. That word portion refers to as an inheritance. Like inheritance, right? God meant everything to David. That doesn't mean all the time that David made the right decision, because we know that that's not the case. But David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord with his whole heart. His desire was to please the Lord. And he's also asking the Lord to have mercy on him, because he knows there was times in his life where he wasn't perfect. And he asked the Lord to have mercy on him. Folks, can I tell you, when you think about David, you think about his life, the reality is, if you are saved, when you look at these verses, you can relate to that. That you have a relationship with the Lord. God should be our top priority. Amen. When you get saved, you'll see that. And sometimes what happens in our life, we start wandering away. But then what we see is we ask the Lord for mercy. We'll pray and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry I've done that. And Lord, help me with that. But his desire was to keep God's word. I was talking about that in Sunday school, and we'll probably go over to 1 John for a little bit. One of the things, if you are truly born again, there is evidence that you're saved. If you're truly saved, there is evidence. There is fruit that shows that you're a believer. And it's a wonderful thing you think about, because you can look at the scripture and the Bible tells us this evidence, and then you look at your life and you can see it, then you know that you have eternal life, right? Sometimes people doubt. You can just go to the scripture and say, yes, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's saying, hey, I want you to know that you have eternal life. Now look what the Bible says over here to the book of 1 John. 1 John is way at the end of the Bible, not completely at the end, but over to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, what do we see? We saw David talked about this relationship. We see that David talked about serving God with his whole heart, or following the Lord, this desire to please him, this desire to keep his word. Look at what the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2. Look at what the Bible says down in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, right? So again, 1 John is a great book to give to a new believer to read. You lead someone to the Lord, tell them to read the book of 1 John. 1 John will show them that they have a relationship. What it speaks to them about a fellowship, as in sin can hindering their prayer life. But it'll go through and say, hey, that you, if you accepted the Lord, here's evidence that you could see in your life. Talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, so some in Sunday school, this may be a little repeat, not all the same. He says that you may know Him. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want you to doubt. God said it, believe Him, right? And what is He saying? If we keep His commandments, He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Amen? So there should be a desire in your heart to keep God's word. He didn't say you're perfect, right? Praise the Lord for that, because if you and I had to be perfect, we would all be in trouble. Amen? But there is a desire. Remember what the psalmist said? There was a desire that he had in his heart. And here it is, the Bible saying, hey, one of the evidence or proof, the fruit, is a desire to keep God's word. Amen? Look at what the Bible says over here to chapter 5. I think this is where we were in Sunday school. In chapter 5. Chapter 5. Another evidence you'll find in 1 John talks about a love for brethren. If you're saved, you should love Christians. If you don't love Christians, enjoy being around with Christians, something's wrong. Amen? There should be that desire. Look what it says here in 1 John chapter 5, kind of repeating what we were saying earlier, but look here at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, that we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. We talked about this in Sunday school. It's not grievous. It's not hard. Well, what makes it hard? Well, my flesh, when I'm not in the Spirit, right? But His commandments, what God asked us to do, is not difficult, right? Love your neighbor. That shouldn't be difficult. What makes it difficult? My flesh. But it's not hard, right? Thou shalt not kill. That's not hard, right? So you think about it, it's not grievous. God wants us to show love, amen? God wants us to tell people about Jesus Christ. But anyway, He's showing us here, there is a fruit or evidence of being born again. And one is it because there's a desire to keep God's word. Let me ask you, if you go back to that day that you got saved, can't you see since that day that you got saved, a desire that's in your heart that you want to keep God's word? Amen? There should be a desire that's there. You know, another evidence is if you start doing things you shouldn't, the Holy Spirit will start convicting you. And if you don't listen, what happens? The Holy Spirit will chasten you. You start walking away from God and see what happens. If nothing happens, can I tell you, yeah, you better run to the church house. You better find someone and say, I need Jesus. Amen. Because God chastens His children. You just can't keep walk one way and not have God chastening on you. And another one is God will speak to you through His word. Amen. God beareth witness, right? I think that's in Romans chapter 8, and I think we're talking about that this morning. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They don't understand this. Amen? But when you get saved, you can. Amen? It's a wonderful blessing that's there. But anyway, what we could see is you turn back to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, David was speaking of that in verse 58, verse 57 and verse 58, this desire, right? He loved the Lord. He wanted to keep His word. And then what do we see here in Psalms 119 in verse 59 and 60? Psalms 119, verse 59 and 60. It says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Here's the psalmist. He has a desire to keep the very words of God. And now what he's saying in verse 59 and verse 60 is this. He had examined his life. He started to examine his life. And as he started to examine his life to the word of God that he had at the time, and when he looked at it, he realized if he was going the wrong way, he quickly turned and start to go in the other direction. He examined his life. You know what happens a lot of times, especially in this world that we live in today? People would examine their life but do a comparison to others. They'll do a comparison to someone like Hitler. And they'll say, I'm not a bad person compared to Hitler. Well, praise God for that. Amen. I'm glad you're better than Hitler, as in you think about what Hitler did. Or they compare their life to Stalin. But a lot of times what will happen is someone will compare their life to someone that maybe is out in sin. They're doing things they shouldn't be doing. And the reality is they're comparing their life and saying, I am not that bad of a person. But the reality is this, what David did when he examined his life, he didn't compare it to someone else that was over there. The reality is he looked to the very words of God that he had. And when he looked to the word of God and he realized he was going in the wrong direction, what did he do? He turned. Did you see that? I thought of my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. I was going in the wrong direction. Then what? I turned around. Verse 60, I made haste. And delay not, right? So when you realize, when you look at the scripture and you're comparing your life and looking at the scripture and you realize that you are wrong, Ms. Elm, the best thing to do is you, without delay, hurry up and turn. Amen? Don't wait. You know why? Because if the devil can get you to wait, in time you'll forget about it. In time you may say, well, I know that's not right, but maybe I'll change tomorrow. Well, the reality is tomorrow may not come. Here it is. He's talking about this. What is it? He didn't delay. Folks, can I tell you, whenever the Holy Spirit works on your heart and tugs at you, or maybe through the preaching, the Holy Spirit uses my words and I step on your toes, if you understand what I'm saying, there's something that you're doing. The best thing to do is right even during the service. You don't have to bow your head, but it's probably good to bow your head. You can bow your head and just say, Lord, forgive me. I mean, you don't have to wait to an altar call to come up here and pray. I mean, all you have to just ask the Lord, say, Lord, forgive me. Maybe there's something that came in your mind of maybe you did something against someone and you're thinking there, well, I'll just wait to the end of the service. No, get right now. Amen. Maybe you said something to someone that you shouldn't have said and you got mad at them. The best thing to do is say, Lord, forgive me. Amen? Just make it right. Maybe you thought something that you shouldn't have thought, or maybe you saw something you shouldn't have thought and you lusted over something. Best thing to do is say, Lord, forgive me. He said, I didn't delay. I made haste. He went. Oh, could I tell you, if we would get back to that place in our life, that we allow the very words of God to direct our paths, that we allow the very words of God to be like a mirror to us, amen? And allow us to see our lives, and then we would look at it and say, whoa. But allow it to be a light to guide our paths and say, this is the direction I need to go, amen?
Amen.
Look what the Bible says over here to the book of, you're in Psalms. Turn here to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I'm wondering if I lost the conference call again. Amen. Always looks like that. I'm telling you, the technology is great when it works, but when it doesn't work, amen. Let's see if this works.
Conference call system.
Yeah. Maybe it's working. Hopefully it's working. Oh. Oh my. Hold on a second here. I'm sorry. Move to this device.
Commercial break. Buy energizing batteries.
Hopefully you can still hear me. Well, I don't think they can. Well, that's what happens when you're on a conference call, I guess. Unfortunately, I can't help it. Amen. Anyway, where was I? Psalms 139. Look here in Psalms 139, verse 23. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Do you see that? Search me, O God. Asking God to search his heart. Can I tell you, that's one of the best things and wisest thing to do is when we had communion this evening, Before we had communion, I would tell people, remind people what the bread is, what the grape juice is. You think about the bread. Remember the blood doesn't turn into actual blood. But then we take a little time. The Bible says, "And examine yourself." To examine yourself, to make sure things are right with you in the Lord. Amen. And here it is, he's saying, "Search me, O God." Amen. Allow God to search your heart. Now, let me ask you this. Is there a place in your heart, in your mind, that's off limits to God? As in from this standpoint, God can touch everything. God can say he can change everything in your life. But there's one area in your life you're saying, "No, I'm not changing." Well, you think about that. What is that? Well, that's a hindrance to you. You need to get to the place and say, "Lord, search me. Show me. Let me see." And whenever God shows you that part of your in your mind or that area of your life where you're saying, "Nope, nope, nope," you have to realize God wants you to surrender. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12. I feel bad for those that are on the conference call. I hope that it works for them. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Well, it looks like it may be working. I don't know. Hopefully it is. Romans chapter 12. Look what the Bible says here, starting in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, there's a lot that's there. I could stay there and probably preach the rest of the night and go a little bit further. But here it is, God saying, hey, to live for him, right? We're a living sacrifice. And then he tells us, be not conformed to this world. Don't allow this world to set the standards of your life. Don't allow the world to set the standards for marriage. Don't allow the world to set the standards for raising your family. Allow God to do it. That's what he says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. How are you going to prove something? Well, you're going to go from what God says in his word. The reality is, find out what God says. And when you find out what God says, then allow God to lead. Amen? That's the best thing that you can do. Allow God to lead. Now turn back here to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. You know what's amazing? I mean, this Bible is the very words of God. And can I tell you, you'll have people to say this as you turn back to Psalms 119 down to verse 61 and 62. You'll have people say this Bible is not relevant today. They are lying to you. You know why they would say that? Because they don't know him. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, this Bible is still relevant every single day. God's word is always true. And look what the Bible says here in Psalms chapter 119, verse 61 and verse 62. "The bands of wicked men have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because thy righteous judgment." Let me ask you a question before I get into this verse. How many here have a desire, don't raise your hand, but you really have a desire in your heart to say, "You know what, I want to really serve God. I want to put God first in my life." I hope every single person that's in this room, that would be you today. And if so, and you have already done it, let me ask you what has happened. Since that day that you surrendered to the Lord, and, you know, after you got saved and you got to that place in your life, you're like, "You know what? You just really surrender and say, I'm going to put God first." And you start to put God first. Let me ask you, what happened when you did that? Probably the same thing as what you see David says here. David had a desire to serve God. He was putting God first in his life. He wanted to keep his word. He was allowing God to direct his path. What the Bible say? The bands are the company of the wicked have robbed me. Chrissy got a trial. Matter of fact, you think about this trial that came in. It was a trial to destroy him. Didn't touch his life. But that trial came in and took something from him that may have been precious. It could have rattled him. It could have shook him. Could have made him worry. Could have made him turn around. Do you know when the Bible tells us there was a time when David was getting ready to go to war, him and his men, and the people were like, no, we don't want you to go, because they knew if David went out, he would probably turn on those people because they're fighting against the Israelites. And he returned home, and when he returned home, there was the wicked people that came into his homeland and stole his wife. I think he had two wives. Stole his wife, and those people, and stole his stuff. They took everything. And matter of fact, the Bible tells us that those people that was with David, who also went through the same trial that David was going through, looked at David and said, they were thinking about killing him. You want to talk about being in a spot. Here it is, those that you were there saying, hey, we don't trust you. He goes back, his family is gone, his stuff is all gone, and those that he was with in the battle fighting is turning on him. You know what God did? You know what David did? He turned to God and strengthened himself in the Lord. Folks, what I want you to see here in these verses, when you surrender to the Lord and you're saying, you know what, I'm going to put God first. I want, Lord, you just direct my path. If I'm going the wrong way, I'm going to make haste and I want to, without delay, go. You rest assured, as David went through this, you're going to see it already. And matter of fact, some of you, before I even told you this, already said, oh my. Can I tell you, why is that? Because the devil hates what you're doing. The devil wants to destroy you. He's a roaring lion. He's out there to see if he can devour you. Remember Job? There was no one like Job on the earth. And as the devil went before the Lord brought up Job. Hath thou considered my servant Job? And even God Almighty give a testimony of Job. There's none like him, a just and upright man. And what happened? The devil brought a trial. He did those things to Job. And we read at the end of verse 1, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, we sing that song today. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was Job in the midst of a trial when he lost his family. He lost his kids. And he says, blessed be the name. Here is David. It's in the midst of a trial. The bands of the wicked came and robbed him and took things. And what did David say? Oh my, can I tell you? He says, I have not forgotten thy law. Lord, I'm not blaming you. This trial that I'm in, no. It's not going to take me away from that path that I'm going through. I know your way is right. And Lord, I'm just going to keep on going. And matter of fact, David said this, you wait till tonight at midnight. I'm telling you, tonight at midnight, I'm going to be sleeping. Amen. Lord willing, I don't know what happened a couple nights ago, but all I could tell you is if you were in a trial, it must have been, two nights ago, I was praying for you. Can I tell you, there must have been some people that are going through things in their life. I don't know what time it was, 1, 2 in the morning, may have been 3 o'clock. God Almighty, I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning there. And I said, Lord, I don't know who's going through a trial. Someone's going through something, but I'm going to start praying for them. So I start praying for some people, amen? So all I know is I must have hit the person that was supposed to be, because then I doze right off, amen. So it's a good thing I can't remember who it was. John. No, I'm just joking, but I'm teasing him, amen. What I'm saying is, he says at midnight, I'm hoping to be sleeping. And David said this, but I'm going to wake up. The time when I should be resting, my body, my flesh should be sleeping and recovering. He said, Lord, I'm going to wake up at midnight and praise you. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, you could see that, you take it literally. You can also take it as in the midst of the trial, he says, Lord, I'm still going to praise you. Even when it's dark outside, I am just going to praise you. What a glorious thing. At midnight, I will rise to give thee thanks unto thee because thy righteous judgment. Why? Because of who you are. Because you don't change. Because you're still on the throne. And I know that, Lord, these people who did things to me, that you're a righteous judge and you'll bring things. Hopefully through it they'll get saved. What a glorious thing. But you know what we see here? Can I tell you, you can see your life. You can see my life. Can I tell you, when you surrender and you're saying, I'm putting God first, you're not the only person that ever has gone through a trial. And the reality is, you can go back to the scripture that's still relevant for today and still is a blessing and a help to you today. And you can go back to something that happened thousands of years ago, that a man named David was in the midst, and what he just said, I'm going to praise you. Amen? Amen? Folks, can I tell you, one of the things that makes the devil so mad is when you're in the midst of a trial, when things are rough, you just take time to say, praise the Lord. Amen? Amen? Boy, can I tell you, you make the devil mad. Amen? You just say, thank you, Lord. I'm not talking about talking to the devil or saying anything. No. You just go to God and say, Lord, thank you. Amen? Oh, can I tell you, it's a wonderful thing of singing and praising and thanking God. Look what he says here, verse 63. He says, I am a company to all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Here is David was had fellow believers that was in his company. He enjoyed the fellowship with other believers. He was with those, but you see what he says? I am a company of them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Can I tell you, it's a wonderful blessing when you have someone that's saved that's a friend. Amen? Can I tell you, it's a wonderful blessing when you have someone that's saved as a friend and has a desire to keep God's word. Amen? I mean, someone that's sold out to God, someone that's trying to live for God. Can I tell you, David said, I enjoy being in the company of those that love God and serving God and wants to keep His word. Amen? Can I tell you, we live in a day and age. We have Christians that are saved, but they're not trying to live for God. The Bible refers to them as cardinal or worldly Christians. Now, they're still our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord for them. But can I tell you, they can drag you down. They can try to discourage you from serving God. Oh, you don't have to go to church tonight. Why don't we just go golfing? You don't have to go to church tonight. Why don't we go to the store and go shopping? You don't have to do... No. I want to go to church. No, I want to read my Bible. No, I want to spend time, amen, with the Lord. Folks, can I tell you, David, here his desire says, I want to be with those that love you, those who are serving you. Folks, can I tell you, I want you to know your friends, your acquaintance will impact your life. The Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. When I was 11 years old, I can remember that, Mark, 11 years old, almost 40 years ago. I remember as I was an 11-year-old boy, my parents moved from, we lived in the mountains, down in the holla, and we moved into town. And as we moved into town was, there was some rough, like sinful things that were going on. And I remember when I was 11 years old, I started to hang out with these guys that they played sports. I wanted to play sports, so I started to hang out with them. And these guys did a lot of bad things. And one of the things they did as an 11-year-old boy, and I was 11 years old, they start chewing. I'm not talking about bubble gum, and I'm not talking about meat, but I'm talking about that tobacco, that smokeless tobacco. And here I am as an 11-year-old boy, and I'm playing baseball. A lot of times baseball players, they would do that. It's a bad influence. But anyway, as an 11-year-old boy, and I want to play baseball, all my other buddies that was there playing baseball were using smokeless tobacco.
I'm not doing that. That's dumb, you know. But you know what happened, John? 11-year-old boy, because I continued to hang out with him, that in probably 3 months, 4 months, I had my first chaw, as they would say. I had a big old red man and one in my mouth. It looked like someone punched me or something, you know. And I thought that was cool, you know what I mean? That was here. Yeah, big leg chew, fold them or something. I must have been cool, you know, came like this big old pack of chew. You know, that's there. And then needless to say, it didn't sit too well. Amen. But what happened? I wanted to fit in. And I mean, if I was going to be with these guys, and you know what happened? That's what I did. I would use smokeless tobacco. What is it? It's because those you hang out with can influence you. David said, hey, I want the ones I'm hanging out with, the ones that fear God, the one that loves your word. Amen? Because he wanted to have a desire to keep God's word. Look what he says here, verse 64. We're almost done. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Here is in David's walk with the Lord. He looked around, and as he looked around, he saw the mercy of God. God's mercy. Oh, can I tell you, he saw God's mercy to himself. David wasn't perfect, and he saw God's mercy in his life. And he was so thankful for that. And he would look around, and he would see the mercy of God. I mean, it's everywhere. Do you know why America is not wiped off the map today? Yeah, because of the mercy of God. Do you know our nation has murdered millions upon millions of babies? Millions of babies. And you know our nation, you think about what Solomon and Gomorrah did. You think about what our nation is doing. Our nation has approved homosexuality and saying that they can get married and it's okay. Can I tell you, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The only reason we are still here is because of the mercy of God. I believe because God, there's believers that are still praying for our nation. You keep on praying. I believe because as a nation, we're still behind Israel. Pray that that doesn't change. But it's the mercy of God that's on this nation. David looked and he saw it in his own life and he saw it in the world. And then he said this. David's desire was to please God. You read the first 57 to verse 54, you would go, wow, here's a man that loves God. His heart's with God. He's surrendered. He's allowing God to direct his path. And he says, teach me thy statutes. You may sit there and scratch your head up for a little bit and say, but David is doing what's right. David does know God's word. Mark, it doesn't matter how long we've been saved. The reality is we can keep on learning. Amen? David may have been a man after God's own heart. David may have been the guy that at that time is saying, Lord, turn me quickly. I saw it. I'm going this direction. David can look around and see the mercy of God in his life. He can see God's hand working in people's life or the mercy that's there. But David was still humble to realize, I still need to grow. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm almost done. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. He knew that he still needed to grow. Look here in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Can I tell you these are powerful verses. Verses to remember about our walk with the Lord. In Philippians 3 verse 10, this is Paul who was writing it. Was probably one of the greatest Christians that ever walked on the earth. Loved the Lord, was surrendered to the Lord. Wasn't perfect.
In fact, if Paul was here, Paul would probably say, stop! But he did. He loved the Lord. And look what Paul wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God told him what to write. He says, that I may know him. He wasn't talking about having a relationship as in being saved. No, no, no. He was talking about a closer walk with God. Paul, you know, think about it. This is around 64 A.D. He's getting close to the end of his Christian life because he was martyred. He knew God. But you see what he's saying? He had a desire to know him better. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He wanted to grow closer. It says, not as though I have already attained. I'm not there. I'm not perfect. I don't know everything yet. Neither were already perfect. But I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, right? But what was he saying? Similar to David, I'm not there yet. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. But he gives us a wonderful truth that's here. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, those things that you did in your past and God has forgiven you of, keep them in the past. God's not going to bring it up anymore. Stop allowing the devil to afflict you. Stop allowing your mind to bring it up. He says, hey, this one thing, I put it behind me. And look what he says. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What was he saying? Lord, I want to grow closer and closer to you. And I know I'm not where I should be, but there are some things you have taught me. And I know I need to make sure I keep this. There's things I have done. You have forgiven me in the past, but I need to keep on going. I need to stay focused on you that I may know him. What was it? He wanted to grow.
Amen.
Don't ever get to the place in your Christian life where you think that you have apprehended. Amen. Because the reality is we all can grow. There's always an area in our Christian life that we need to grow. And yes, as you're surrendering, and yes, you're following the Lord, and yes, you're growing closer. Can I tell you, the closer you draw, the more I realize how much I need him. I need him so much. I mean, the closer I draw to the Lord, the more I say, Lord, how much of a failure I am. But I just keep on going, amen? Because the reality is, he is perfect. I'm not. But I want to grow closer and closer to him. What was it? The Bible said, what was his name? Enoch. He had a son, and then he walked with God. Amen? Sometimes it could be children that could wake you up. Sometimes it could be other things that can wake you up as a trial. And he walked with God. Allow that to be our desire today, to walk with God. Let's close. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message was a help and a blessing. I pray that it would be encouragement to us to live for you and to walk with you. Lord, you know the hearts of the people that are here. Lord, I believe everyone has made a profession of faith, Lord, but if someone is just playing games or someone that just made a profession but they don't have a possession, I pray that they would make it known today. And Lord, I also pray for those that may be here that maybe haven't surrendered. I pray through this message there would be a desire in their heart to surrender to you. And Lord, maybe that person that's going through a trial and the devil's trying to get them to blame God, that they would be like David, even at midnight, and say, Lord, thou art God. Thou art great. Lord, help us to be faithful to you until you return. I pray that you would give us safety as we travel home. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.